as you speak.
Okay.
Father, thank you that you have been speaking to Tim this week and you've put some words on his heart. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak through him this morning, that we may hear the message that you want us to hear as individuals and also as a church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim.
Good morning. Can you hear me? I'm waiting for Nathan to... That's all right. Nothing coming on there. Ooh, I'm loud. Okay, good morning. My name's Tim, in case you didn't catch that. It's really hard being a Christian. And I think it's really hard being a Christian and loving your neighbour. I mean, people are so annoying. They don't do the things the exact way you want them done. They have really weird political views. They vote for the wrong things. They vote for Brexit. They don't vote for Brexit. They won't vote either way. They don't agree with everything you say. They drive really slowly in front of you. They leave a mess. They don't read your mind. They eat noisily. They commit terrible crimes. They have extreme racist views. They wear the wrong clothes to the wrong event. They stop in the middle of a busy payment just to chat with friends when you're shopping. And someone even let you get past them on Candy Crush. Oh, she's gone. That was just for Catherine, that was. So how on earth are we supposed to love people like that? Come on. But we need to love these neighbours because Jesus told us to. As is recorded in Matthew in 22:37-40, he said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Jesus commands us to love our neighbors, our friends, our family, our acquaintances, even our enemies, as we love ourselves. And that's not with a placated smile or for the sake of being civil, but loving them in spite of their faults, because we too are not perfect. And therein lies one of the two main problems. Why are we so often so afraid to love our neighbour? What stops us being fearless in loving our neighbour? I think there are two main reasons. Firstly, it's because we know we are far from perfect. Hi. She's all right. No, don't take her out. First, it's because we know we are far from perfect. It's like being in heavy traffic. Right, we complain about all the other drivers who have decided to come out at exactly the same time as us, and who are now making our 10-minute journey twice as long, three times as long. Yet we forget we are one of those cars and we ourselves are a contributing factor to that traffic jam. We have not got our own house in order, so how can we offer love to others when maybe we don't love ourselves enough? As we saw in the reading in Luke, why do you look at a speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? We judge too often. Although we probably don't realise we are judging. It's a human trait. It's a biological primeval instinct. We see, we judge, and we act. But as Christians, we must rise above that. We must remember that we too are loved despite all our faults. And we all have them, for not one of us here today is perfect. As long as we accept that, as long as we trust God with our hearts, our minds, our souls, our very being, our essence, then we have no need to worry. Loving our neighbour is the very essence of our journey with Christ. We must love everyone, not just those who love us. Luke says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good, if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. If we do not love our neighbor, then we are not following the path God has created for us. One of my favorite quotations is from Oscar Wilde. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but he said, "Always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much." And Paul kind of, I think it's probably an adaptation of what Paul says in chapter 12 of his letters to the Romans. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals onto his head. And Proverbs 25:22 says, teaches us that if the fire of your enemy goes out and they come asking for a coal to relight their fire, instead of turning them away or just giving them one coal, we should be extravagantly generous. We must keep one coal for ourselves and give all the rest of the burning coals to our enemy. And the idea of heaping them onto their heads, in the Middle East, they would carry things on their heads in big pans, so they would carry their heavy coals, as you know, as people still do in the Middle East there. That was always a confusing part. You know, what do you mean, put the burning coals on your enemy's head? Surely that's actually sounds like something not very nice. No, it means to put them, you know, on their pan, which they would then carry and carry their coals away, so hence heaping coals onto his head. So how do we get ourselves fit for purpose? How do we deal with the plank in our own eyes? How do we get ourselves ready to love our neighbor? How do we do it? We do it by trusting God. We remember that he loves us unconditionally and that nothing we do will stop his loving us. We remember too, those of us who are parents, that we do the same with our own children. If we remember this, then we know that we need not be afraid to love our neighbor. God is, however, a realist in this respect. I remember going to a seminar years ago, about 20 years ago, it was a men's weekend. I went with the Ashford Baptist Church. I was invited there. And there was a speaker. I can't remember his name. It's Tico Rice or Rico Tice. It's one of those. Tico Rice, thank you. And he said, gosh, flies bugging me today. He said, God is a realist. He knows we don't, won't, and can't like everybody. But he wants us to love everybody. He wants us to love everyone, no matter what, whether they be a Mother Teresa or an Adolf Hitler. He wants us to love everybody. But how do we overcome our fear or repulsion at loving some of society's more challenging members? How do we love the murderer, the rapist, the thief? I believe that we show our love for them by praying for them, praying for their salvation, praying that they will listen to God's calling and let the Holy Spirit into their lives. After all, it worked on Saul. And there was an article in the newspaper a few years ago that talked about some of the ISIS soldiers, the Islamic State soldiers, who had been turning their backs on the violence that ISIS was causing and were turning their faces to God and were converting to Christianity. And I believe that this was a result of prayer and is testament to the power of loving your neighbor, a real modern-day miracle. So that was the first thing. The second problem is that causes us to be afraid to love our neighbor, I feel, is this fear of the response. How will our neighbor react? Will they chastise us? Will they mock us? Will they want to hear more about the good news? Oh, God forbid that. Okay, I'm loving you, that's enough. Do we need to let all these people know that we are loving them? What about their lifestyle choices? Are they gay or trans? Does that conflict with my personal beliefs? Will I come across as a religious bigot? Will I come across as intolerant or judgmental? Or will I come across and show myself a hypocrite I so often am? But did Jesus say, love your neighbor as yourself? Or did he say, Love your neighbour as yourself, and by golly, make sure he or she knows it. It's a difficult one. Greg's not here today, is he? But I know Greg has talked about a story in his past, and Greg will empathise with this story. I'm sure many others will empathise with this story too. I worked with a colleague for several years who was, as Greg describes the colleague with whom he worked, as toxic. Now, I know I'm saying that's very judgmental, isn't it? But it's difficult, isn't it? Everything I did was wrong. Complaints were made against me over the slightest thing. My actions, intentions were misconstrued and misinterpreted, deliberately in my view sometimes. I was branded everything from being a bully, a racist, a sexist. If it had ist on the end, I was branded that by this colleague. What hurt more was this colleague poisoned another colleague against me. And this was even harder to understand because the second colleague was also a Christian. And we'd gotten well up till then. And the second colleague used to complain to me when I was head of department about the first colleague nearly every single day. But I had Christian colleagues at work and we prayed together. They prayed for me. We prayed for me, we prayed for these two colleagues. And it worked. It took a while, 7 years in fact. But it worked. The power of praying for my enemies meant that the situation improved tremendously. And the situation was resolved. We're not going to get an immediate answer to prayer. Maybe we will never get an answer to prayer. Sometimes we just have to be patient for that prayer to be answered. A little while ago, I was deliberately knocked off my bike by a man. I was physically hurt and bruised and quite angry. And I wanted revenge. And this church helped me to get past that. You helped me to put anger aside and to pray for that man. And now every time I go past the site of the incident on my drive to work, I try to remember to pray for him. He doesn't know it. Maybe he does know it. I don't know, but I don't think he knows it. I'm trying not to be afraid, to be fearless in praying for my enemies. And this has helped me to forgive him. Loving our neighbor helps us find more peace and to let go. The alternative is to walk around with a bag of heavy bricks for the rest of your life. Each brick represents the anger you feel, the revenge you seek, the sadness that you can't control. Praying for those who wrong us helps us to set aside each brick one at a time until that bag is empty. Sometimes our earthly side, Kathy talks about our earthly passport and our heavenly passport, sometimes our earthly side will grab one of those bricks and put it back into the bag. But that's when we need to call to God and ask him to help us take that brick back out of our bag, pray for that person and set that brick aside. There is nothing humanly possible about following the laws of the Old Testament or the New Testament because it's not something that we as humans are meant to do alone. We need the support of community and we need the help of the Father. By recognizing our desperate need for a Savior, we are granted yet another gift, the gift of possibility. A possibility that allows us to move beyond our brokenness and into a life of purpose, finding our enough in him who loves us so much that he came into this ugly world while we were still sinners and died in our place. There is no school that teaches you how to learn, that teaches you how to love your neighbour. It's just the house next door. No one expects us to love them flawlessly, but we can love them fearlessly, furiously, and unreasonably. What often keeps us from loving our neighbours is fear of what will happen if we do. And frankly, what should scare us more is thinking about what will happen if we don't. Being fearless isn't something we can decide to be in a moment, but fear can be overcome with time and the right help. We can bring all the gain we've got, but only Jesus has the power to call out of us the kind of courage it takes to live the life he talked about. Loving people means caring for them without an agenda. As soon as we have an agenda, it's no longer love, but personal gain. And let us not forget that we too are neighbours, and I'm sure we all desire to be loved, no matter how flawed and imperfect we all are. I want to read now a version of the paradoxical commandments. Mother Teresa, it was found on Mother Teresa's house in India shortly after she died, and she's done her version of the original, which was written by Dr. Kent M. Keith, an American writer in the 1960s. And this is Mother Teresa's version. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. And let us remember the true words of an American writer, diplomat, and lawyer by the name of Bob Goff. He said, "I can't think of a single time where Jesus held someone accountable. He just held them closely." Shall we pray? Lord, in a world torn apart by fear and suspicion, teach us, your children, that love is the only means to conquer fear. The love we encounter as we search you out, the love we encounter as we accept your embrace. Lord, the Son, in a world full of anger and frustration, teach us, your servants, your friends, your sisters, and your brothers, to overturn the tables and tear down the fences which turn away the hungry and the homeless, to feed and house the disciple that knocks on our door in the guise of the stranger, and to find the love we seek in loving others. O Lord, the Holy Spirit, teach us, your children, to be caring of one another, to protect one another as you gather the nations under the feathers of your wings. Help us to know peace that steals gently in through quiet acts of kindness. Amen.